We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good morning. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Back after a three-week hiatus. Saints are on at 325. So we're on today. I guess it struck midnight at about 9:30 last night for LSU, and we got Albert. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, Doug. What's up, man?
Oh, just sort of I feel like midnight has struck, and LSU sort of came back to reality a little bit. You know, it's somewhat disappointing, but overall, if you look at 9-3 in the SEC West Championship, I think anybody who's an LSU fan would have took that after the Florida State game Labor Day weekend. So
that team overachieved. You know, they're not there yet, clearly. You know, let me tell you what good coaches do is they get their players up for every game. Every game is important. I'll never forget a statement Nick Saban made. He was being interviewed prior to his first national championship game at LSU. And they asked him, is this the biggest game you've ever coached? And his answer was, only because it's my next one. And it's how he works, it's how he and he schemes and expects everyone to play at that level. And I think what we've seen in this team is the ups and downs. You know, they had to squeak past Arkansas. They seemingly play to their competition, you know. And so they walked in thinking, oh yeah, we're going to be in the SEC championship in 2 weeks, so we'll just walk in and win this one and then punch our ticket. So they looked flat. It was just embarrassing. There was no intensity, nothing. I mean, it was just like they were going through the motions the whole night. And sad part is they were kind of hanging with them for the most part till the fumble.
There were three plays that Eddie Lacy dropped a first down at about the 10-yard line that might have scored. Obviously, the sack fumble touchdown. And the third was after the sack fumble, LSU was driving again. They were down at the 35-yard line, I believe, and then Daniels scrambled. It was 3rd and 6. He scrambled for a first down. Penalty was called.
That was so bad. He had his shoulder pad shirt on the inside. If they call that a hold, that's holding on every play and every down by every offensive line. That was just ridiculous.
And so I think, you know, such momentum, and you got younger. Well, you know, 18 to 20, momentum's everything in college football. You look at the Ohio State-Michigan game yesterday, how the momentum turned in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it was a good year. It's disappointing have that opportunity and not take advantage of it. But Texas A&M was one play away from beating Alabama. They underachieved all year, and this was their bowl game. And now the fact that they had nothing to play for, you know, the expectations were stripped off of them, and they went out there and played. And
well,
LSU
and the other
also,
thing they did was, he sat a lot of players, and so he decided, you know, I'm going to play these young players, and I think their quarterback, that was his third or fourth start, and he went out there and ripped it. I mean, that kid made all great decisions, no turnovers, you know, made the right passes, dropped that pass right into Muhammad's lap. I mean, he did great. This kid's going to be really good next year. And the fact that he got three or four games under his belt is going to help him tremendously. You know, it's a shame because, you know, if you can just rally these kids to play, you get in there and you know, but again, they just didn't have, look, you play 11, 12 games a year, you know, get up for them, make it the biggest thing going, you know, go out to impress. And it just, I didn't see it.
Well,
I didn't see any.
Yeah. Also, right. And they got beat at the point of attack also, which was interesting. Now, I will say this in defense of LSU. Harold Perkins, they lost their best defensive lineman the first game against Florida State. And LSU really didn't have a rotation for its defensive linemen. It only had a rotation of maybe four for three defensive linemen. Now, that became an issue when Texas A&M held the ball or took those long first half drives, you know, for 12, 13 plays. And when you're on the field that long, it's going to take its toll on the back end of the game, especially if you don't have that rotational depth that a lot of, you know, college, you know, Georgia would have. They have six or seven players who come, you know, who rotate in the defensive line.
So you think if A&M ran the ball like that, it's scary to think what Georgia's going to do to them.
Well, you know, I think also too, it's different playing when you're the quote the hunter, or are you the underdog? You play without expectation. You play without fear, and then I think you had, you know, you saw a little bit during the Arkansas game, a little bit of a let up, but in a sense, now you're playing with that expectation. You're playing with that expectation that you should win instead. And I think that's a different mindset that they'll have to learn. But against Georgia, they'll be playing free. I mean, they're not going to be, you know, they won't have that expectation on them. Again, they'll be back in their role that they were when they played Alabama, in that role when they played Ole Miss in Florida. So I'm not totally pessimistic about what would happen Saturday. Next Saturday, Georgia does have some vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities were exposed a little bit against Kentucky last week, and even in the first half against Georgia Tech. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't think that – I think they'll go out there and play as if they had nothing to lose. And should be good. But who knows? Who knows? This has been now, here's the interesting part. Congratulations to Tulane. Tulane's playing in the American Athletic Championship at Fogelman Stadium. And what a game. That is a game where they just won it. They took it away from Cincinnati. They just took it away from them. And he put it in the hands
of the
defense.
Did they play him again?
UCF
lost, so they play him again, right?
And they'll play. And I'm sure they'll have a game plan for the quarterback that they didn't have last time. But here is an interesting scenario. LSU versus Tulane in the Cotton Bowl, if Tulane wins.
Yeah. Yep.
Which would be something that neither program envisioned back 3 months ago. And I think that would be fun. And it would be good for the Cotton Bowl. It's a big, you know, a Super Six bowl. And but that's a real, that's very, very realistic. And boy, did you see Spears yesterday, the running back for Tulane?
He's unbelievable.
Jerez. He's like watching Alvin Kamara, or Alvin Kamara when he's healthy.
Let me tell you what, he reminded me, honestly, a lot of Barry Sanders, the way he could stop and start and change direction. You know, he was running full blast, and then he would stop, somebody would run past him, and then he would cut back the other way. And you know, he's tackled behind the line of scrimmage, but not he gained 3 yards. You know, just it's like, how did he do that? And he was kind of nursing a little bit of a hamstring too. So
yes,
it was fun to watch. I went to my first game actually. Somebody had club tickets and invited me, and I went a couple of weeks ago. And it's great. It's really a great football experience. There's not a bad seat in that stadium. The weather was a little chilly, but it was good football weather. And you know, Tulane was fun to watch. I mean, they got a good thing going, and you know, they go win it on Saturday and you know, have a good bowl game. What a great season!
Oh, absolutely. For Tulane to be in that position where they could play in a New Year's Day bowl. Son of a gun! When was the last time that happened? Had to be might have been the Rose Bowl back in the 30s or the Sugar Bowl sometime in the 40s. I'm sure there's some historian from Tulane who could text in last time that Tulane played in the New Year's Day Bowl, which would be
a long time
ago. And I always thought that Tulane could be like a University of Miami in the sense of you have a private institution with a great academic reputation and a great destination, urban area. And, you know, I just think now that they have someone who's able to do that and hopefully stay around to build that. But this could be a consistent type of program for Tulane. In the state of Louisiana also, even if you get the second line players at LSU – may pass on, you still can build a top 25 team because there's so much
absolutely.
Talent here.
Absolutely.
So,
congratulations. Look, you've got all these kids from locally that, you know, that play ball in the West Bank and that, you know, that play ball in the River Parishes that, you know, like you say, might get passed over, but would love the opportunity to, you know, go to Tulane and go to school in New Orleans, you know, close to home, the family can watch them play. It's a perfect opportunity. It's just all about the administration and about the alumni and the support. You know, once you get that group behind you, you know, you can build a program.
Just being committed to it. And also, so congratulations to Tulane. And okay, today we're on till 11 o'clock. The Saints play at 3:25. So pregame's starts at 11, so we're going to extend an hour. So who do we have? We got two guests.
Yeah, we have a couple of guests. Our first guest will be calling in after the break. Wayne Lemonnier. Wayne is owns a company called The Coin Agent, and with FTX, you know, going under the big crypto company, he's going to give us some insight and explain some of that to us. Explain. Yeah, just currencies and markets and Federal Reserve and some of those aspects of those types of investments and the gold market and the coin market and just all the different types of currencies that are out there. And then I think at nine o'clock,
we're going to have Eileen Carter from Recall. Executive Director for Recall LaToya. She's going to tell us about the progress of the recall petition for the mayor and also talk about an alternative way to cast your recall ballot without going in person. I think there's some type of mail-in that she's going to tell us about her progress. And I want to ask her also, too, you know, why, you know, a little bit, is why she expending so much. You know, why'd she take on this task? And the other thing too is, has this modified the mayor's behavior or has made her more emboldened? And
right.
So
yeah,
you know, I don't know. There's certain issues I'm sure she thinks about now, saying how will this play in my recall, and probably would do something maybe a little differently. But in some other ways, you know, the Motel Cantrell seems to be open, and that seems to be a problem also. So,
right.
Jeez, Only in New Orleans, man. Only in New Orleans can we have that. Yeah. You know, only in New Orleans people don't get upset about it either, you know.
They got mayor problems all over the country, but anyway.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, let's go to a break. We're going to have Wayne Lemonnier. Did I pronounce that right?
Lemonnier.
Lemonnier. All right, after the break, talk about cryptocurrency, which I don't know anything about. So I'll be anxious to learn. So we'll be right back on All Things Legal right after this brief timeout.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we're back. Ducks and Terry, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyer. Albert, I was going to get you to introduce your guest.
Yeah, Wayne Lemonnier. Wayne and I have been knowing each other probably for 30 years or so. Been playing basketball together and all kind of other sports, and good friend. And, I had a little conversation with him about FTX and the company that went belly up. And anyway, so I thought it'd be interesting to have him on the show and get his take on everything. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us a little, real quickly, you have a company called The Coin Agent. What is that? Tell me what you do, and we can get into the crypto.
Basically, what I do is wealth preservation through silver and gold ownership, physical ownership, taking possession of the coins or storing it at a depository. But it isn't a paper deal, and it's not I don't do jewelry and that kind of thing. So it's about wealth preservation through gold and silver.
Okay. All right. And then and you located in Metairie, right?
Old Jefferson.
Old Jefferson. Okay. So we talked about FTX. What was FTX? So my issue is I'm 61 years old. I consider myself rather educated, but no one can explain to me the whole crypto concept and the idea and what it is. And you know, what is FTX? And, you know, from the news stories everywhere, I know they were, one of the biggest donors to the Democratic Party, right? And they just recently went under, or, you know, there was a big scandal. Can you explain that and what the implications of that is?
Okay. So taking it back a little bit, there's a young guy, 29-year-old, named Sam Bankman-Fried, and he founded a hedge fund, a crypto hedge fund called Alameda Research. And he figured out a way that he could buy cryptocurrencies on different exchanges and turn a profit. For instance, a Bitcoin might be worth $10,100 on one exchange and $10,000 on another. So he would buy it on one, sell it on the other, and it became very, very profitable. And so he went from there and opened up a crypto exchange. It's called FTX. Now, a crypto exchange is different than a hedge fund because it's taking everyday people's wallets and allowing them to use the exchange to buy and sell freely. He was a big donor to the Democratic Party, and now, you know, with all respect, one of his chief officers donated $24 million to the Republican Party. So it wasn't all
right.
I mean, it's a uniparty.
Right. So they were donating a bunch of money to political parties. He became on the cover of Forbes. He was a crypto darling. And let me just say that all these exchanges and the hedge fund are all based in the Bahamas. So how strict the regulations were, how easily people were bought and sold, I don't know. Anyway, he became more aggressive with his Alameda Research hedge fund and was taking riskier bets. And at the same time, the crypto space took a correction. And so he started, just to make a long story short, started using money from the exchange to fund Alameda to keep it going, and eventually dipping into clients' digital wallets. One of his big clients, who owns his own crypto exchange called Binance from the Caymans, a Chinese gentleman named Z, called him on it, sold 500 million of his tokens, and at that point he started trying to raise money, couldn't, and within a day or two he files Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
And
unfolding, but that's pretty much the gist of what happened.
Let me dial it back a little bit. I mean, okay. What is like the elevator explanation of crypto, and why has
if you really started at the beginning, because I'm the same with Doug. I don't understand it, or what it is, or why it exists, or how it works.
Crypto was going to be the new gold. Crypto is an idea. Cryptocurrency is an idea, and blockchain is a technology. Cryptocurrencies use blockchain as a platform for their transactions. So the blockchain tech, I'm kind of going into another question, but the blockchain technology has many applications. It's in banking and voting, and it's revolutionary from what I've read. I'm not a computer expert, but they're saying that this will be the future, and it may be the current way that banking is done. So the crypto guys came up with this idea. So, I mean, it's just an idea. And what keeps it afloat is investors. Without investor support, crypto will die. We could start Albert Coin tomorrow. And if we get enough people investing in it and get enough, excitement about it, it could exist as a cryptocurrency.
Let me ask you two questions, just conceptually. What is blockchain? And, you know, not the tech, but the way it works, different than normal banks transact money.
Okay, so it is they call it a peer-to-peer. It's immutable. It can't be hacked. And every transaction that is on the ledger, it's a block of a transaction that's connected with a chain to the next block, and everybody can see it. It's all transparent. And so there's no waiting days for something to clear. It happens simultaneously. And that's what's, you know, like, I guess a good analogy would be waiting for a check to clear. It has to go to this bank, and then it goes to that bank, and then it gets to this bank, and they say, yeah, it's good, and then it comes back to this bank. It happens immediately.
Now the second question I have is regulation. What protections do purchases of crypto have, if any?
Well, they're regulating it more and more. And one of my biggest problems with it, and I've been looking at this since it came out, trying to understand it, and it's difficult to understand. That the people that are pro crypto will tell you it's the future of money. And it may be, but it'll be the digital dollar. It won't be, you know, all these different ones that are popping up. Crypto is simply just somebody's idea, and it's supposed to be decentralized, meaning that it doesn't have any intrusion, but regulation is coming and it's happening. And so when they came out with the idea of cryptocurrencies, I said, well, how is the Federal Reserve going to allow this to exist in direct competition with it for money? And I mean, my answer is it's not. And at some point, it'll just regulate the heck out of it and make it unattractive, and then people will stop investing in it.
So let me ask you about crypto. If I have, I don't know, X amount worth of crypto, the value of that crypto, is that based on the dollar value? And if I sell it, do I get dollars?
That's what the crypto exchanges do. You can take, You can take your Bitcoin to an exchange, and you can exchange Bitcoin for Ethereum. You can exchange it back into dollars. You can, yeah, you can do that. It, okay. It's like when it was at 60,000 in November, and I said, you know, people would ask me, and I go, well, if you have money in it and you've made a good bit of money, at least take your investment out, because, you know, you don't want to be on the merry-go-round when the music stops.
Now, right. Throughout American history, from the gold rush or on, there's always been these dreams of instantaneous wealth. What do you see is, I guess, the lure of crypto and the, I guess, hazards of an investor trying to get, you know, with going into crypto thinking they're going to have this, you know, phenomenal
right.
wealth
no,
ahead
it's,
of the curve.
I think the bigger part of this whole thing is greed. People wanting to turn something into nothing or nothing into something. You know, investing, I think there's tremendous risk associated with it. The Federal Reserve tells you it's speculative and risky. And it's just an idea that people are supporting. And when they stop supporting it, then the idea is not as good anymore. It's like I could have the rarest coin in the world, and if nobody wants it, then it has no value.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you know, we deal in all kinds of commodities, property, and different, you know, antiques and different things. And especially as lawyers, you know, we're trying to put values on things, businesses and whatever. And you know, it always comes down to the business is worth, the property is worth what someone will pay for it. And I guess that's the same thing with this as well. But, you know, I'm just, it's interesting to determine or to look at it and see what guides it and why people are, you know, again, so attracted to it. But let's do this.
Well, I mean, they see the profitability. They see it go to 60,000, and, you know, I just think it's a – I almost likened it to the tulip scandal where people were buying tulips because they said this is the thing to be in. You know, I had people come in my office and say, oh, well, the hedge fund – I mean, all the big retirement accounts are getting into crypto. I said, okay. But still risky, and you can't explain it. You don't know the origin of it. Tell me where it came from. Tell me who's behind it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's part of its attraction, that you don't know who the owners of the Bitcoins are. But I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of that the average Bitcoin owner is a very small percentage, and the big whales, they call them, that own most of the Bitcoin are few. And so that puts you at risk as a small guy buying Bitcoin.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll tell you. Well, let's go to a break, and we'll just continue.
Yeah, we'll take some
discussion.
Callers. Yeah, let people call in with some questions because I'm sure people have some questions and
sure.
Maybe some comments. Steer
maybe they
and
can correct me if I've got something wrong.
All right. Let's go. All right. Let's go to a break. Dux and Terry Albert Nico. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Dux and Terry Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We're here with Wayne Lemonnier. We got a phone call for Wayne.
Okay.
We got Greg. Hey, Greg, you on All Things Legal. What you got first?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Greg.
Give me a time. I'm in my car.
Greg,
all right.
So this, Doug, this is Gregory. This is Gregory. You went to De La Salle with him. He's my neighbor. And he's.
Oh, Talbert. I'm sorry.
Invested in crypto. And has a lot of information on it and can hopefully explain some things to all of us about what it is and what the attraction is to the investment.
Yeah, let me do a couple of disclaimers first. I'm by no means an expert on this. I've been doing it about 2 years now, and this is absolutely not financial advice. So with that, I'll give the important thing to know about crypto is it's just all it is a store of value. So and what it is,
what does that
perceived
mean?
Value. So what, Wayne, yeah. He was right about that. It's a place to store your value, and hopefully it'll appreciate.
But what determines the value, Greg?
It's perceived value. It's what the next guy's willing to pay for, just like in your house or stocks or anything else that you own.
Right.
So
but,
the reason you like people get in and flip houses is because they buy them and hope that someone else will come in and pay more for it.
So it's really kind of a gamble that you're buying an investment that you're hoping someone else pays more for it. But, I mean, houses are a limited supply thing, right? I mean, people need houses.
Right, and crypto is as well. Crypto is a limited supply. There's only, I think, you know, talking about Bitcoin a little bit earlier, I think there's only 2 or 3 million Bitcoins out on the open market. And,
right.
You know, I can talk about one that
they cap Bitcoin at 21 million, and we won't reach that number till like 2040, I think. I think there are 18.7 million Bitcoins in existence right now. So they're near the 21 million, and in that regard, you are correct. It is a finite supply of Bitcoins, but it is still supported by investors who believe it has value.
And the reason I mentioned that, I don't fool with Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin's run its course.
Uh-huh.
It's such a heavy lift.
Right.
Now, we still think, you know, Bitcoin's at about 16.5 right now.
Right.
And it's probably going down to 11. I think there's some more pain coming.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a cyclical deal. It's been going on for 12 years since it started. So Bitcoin, you know, is going to go down every 3 or 4 years, 60, 70, 80, 90%. But since it started, it's done 690 million percent. So you can't find a return like that anywhere else.
Granted.
That's a huge, huge...
But it's
crazy
it becomes a question of getting in and getting out at the right time.
Because
you know, even the people who bought at 69 have taken a bath all the way down to 16.5 right now. But guess what? When the bull run starts, probably not next year, but February 24, it's going to run up way over its all-time high again. It's just that's what it does. So, but the problem is with doing that with Bitcoin, now you're in a heavy lift. So, you know, maybe you can do 4 or 5X on the way back up, and you're going to have to wait another year and a half. But, you know, like the one I got in, which is hex.com, H-E-X, and I'm not promoting it by any means. You know, when it started, it came out, and it's done a 10,000X in the last year and a half, right? So it ran up 10,000X, but now it's down 95%. So crypto is extremely volatile. So if you can't handle the downsides, which a lot of people can't, and that's when they lose money as they sell on the way down, right? So,
well, it's kind of what I said. You need to know when to get off the merry-go-round. When is it peaking, and when, you know,
important thing, you know, because 90% of the cryptos, I would say, are probably scams. But if you find the right one that has product market fit, that is immutable, which means you can't change the code, so the founder can't come in and steal your money. It's called the rug pull, and has product market fit, then it's going to do well.
Well, I think
so
I just want
like
to jump
a
in.
CD on up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in real quick. And what I wanted to do, though, for the listeners, talk about what crypto is, but also the vulnerabilities of it. And you'd mentioned a high percentage of them are scams because, again, you know, if you say there's instant riches, it's going to attract a lot of people who can't afford it, who are looking for instant riches. And I wanted to, you know, maybe have just a quick discussion of the vulnerabilities for the average investor saying, hey, you know, I could double, triple, and all, you know, have all these pie in the sky type of expectations. But I mean, there is a lot of risk because we're coming across that right now with, you know, clients who aren't able to, as you say, withstand the downside. And if you could just talk about that just a little bit before we have to go to commercial.
And that's the thing to remember. It's extremely volatile. So if you can't handle the ups and downs, then you shouldn't be in crypto. A lot of people sell at they buy at the top and sell at the bottom, you know, because they're trying to trade. And if you trade, you are going to lose all of your money. So I just let you know that.
And that's sort of the message we wanted to get out is.
Let me just add, like, what
if you find a good crypto with good product market fit, it can be glorious.
What does that mean, Greg? Product market fit.
That means you have a crypto that, like I mentioned, is immutable, which means there is no code, there's no admin keys, so the founder can't, you know, do a
run. Gotcha. Meaning they can't get access to your cryptos.
Right. Yeah. And you got to have one that has some utility.
Gotcha.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we got to take a break. We just had the All Things Legal Point Counterpoint on crypto. So, but we'll be right back for a couple of minutes before we go to the national news and local news. So we'll be right back. Thanks for the call, Greg. And thanks for not bothering to me too much when you sat behind me in Del Sal. There you go. All right, let's go to break. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers with Wayne Lemonnier. Wayne, real quick, got about 2 minutes. Crypto has been compared to playing a slot machine, or in some cases, it's susceptible to a pyramid scheme. Could you just tell us in about a minute and a half, you know, buyer beware, caution about crypto so that they understand what, you know.
Well,
know,
I think I think Greg kind of covered that. I mean, it is a risky investment. I mean, just look at what happened at FTX, where you give people control over it. So there's something called a Bitcoin cold wallet or a crypto wallet that you can keep it cold, where it's stored. You store it on a zip drive, but if you have it on an exchange, it's vulnerable. That's been happening. That's happened before. So it's a risky investment, and the counter to that is gold, and gold is wealth preservation. Not looking to make money, but looking to preserve what I've already made. And it's kind of an insurance for your portfolio, and it's the best kind of insurance, because at the end of the policy, you keep all your premiums. You don't have to pay it. Okay. So, yeah, crypto seems. Go ahead.
Well, and I think, you brought up a great point that, you know, if you're flipping houses, the house is going to be worth something. You're not going to lose it all. You might lose money, but you're not going to lose everything. And you're still going to have a house. Somebody needs a house. Somebody has to live in a house.
Right.
Whereas the crypto is like an idea. And you know, Gregory was right. It is a risky investment. But like you said, when it hits and when it runs, you know, it's like, you know, putting $1,000 on the Saints to win the Super Bowl, after they've had a bad year. You know, you got a big hit.
I was going to make the same game parlay joke about that. let's make a parlay or something and see if we can score some big money, because it's really risky.
All right, one last question.
How do they get in touch with somebody who wants to talk to you more about, you know, the gold side of it and wealth preservation?
Sure. You can call me. My 800 number is 888-494-8889, or you can visit www.thecoinagent.com, or you can email me at thecoinagent@gmail.com.
We got about 20 seconds less. You play basketball with Albert. Will he ever lead his league in assist?
No. He's something of a black hole.
Please, there you go. You got it from someone else.
That's what you wanted, huh, Doug?
So that's it. Just wanted to prove my hypothesis. So it's just been proven.
Thank you all for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne. Okay, we're going to go to hour number two with Eileen Carter of Recall LaToya. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.